By the time the Oregon legislature closes up for the year, wildfire season will be well underway. June 1st is the loose idea of the start date, but there have been fires already and continued efforts to see if we can make this fire season less destructive than previous ones. State Representative Pam Marsh of Ashland is in the middle of some efforts to put state resources to work strengthening our wildfire response. We only have about 10 minutes with her, so we're moving fast here today. Representative Marsh, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Jeffrey, for having me.
Well, we almost lost our window with you. Was the insistence that bills be read completely on the House floor scrambling the House schedule?
Well, let's see. I think we sat on the floor for about 7 hours, morning, afternoon, and evening, until 8:30 last night, listening to bills being read. So, yep, it's changing the pattern.
And this is a Republican insistence that we stick with the constitutional reading of bills in full?
That's right. So we have some incredible readers who can, speed through 31 pages on a bill as quickly as possible, but it still takes a while, so lots of hours on the floor.
Now, we have two things to ask about. One is the Wildfire Council. The other is the funding package. Let's talk about the council first. How many meetings of that council so far?
The council has had two meetings of the full council. Those are full-day meetings. And just to provide a little bit of background, the Wildfire Council was put together by the governor after looking at the wildfire seasons that we've had the last few years. You know, in 2017-18, we had record-breaking expenditures on fire, and we've had fire seasons that are starting earlier than they ever did before, going much later than they ever did before. So the need is to really take a step back and say, how are we going to deal with this on the long term? And that's the goal of the Wildfire Council, to look at prevention and suppression, to look at the funding issues, and to look at how we staff and manage the projects in the forest, both on the prevention and then, of course, on the wildfire side in the long-term future. So that's in a nutshell sort of what the aim of the Wildfire Council is.
So if people look at the pace of work, the good reminder is that this is meant to be a longer-term effort, it sounds like.
Right. That's right. We need to have a long-term strategy on this. We need to look at the ecological impacts, the social and health impacts, the economic disruption caused by wildfire seasons. And we need to be very smart about the kinds of investments we make, because this is not all about putting the fires out by any means. It's really about looking at the way we live in the forest interface, starting with how we keep our homes, the kind of construction of our homes, what we do in our neighborhoods, and then moving out toward the forest. How can we have good forest management, particularly in the interface where we have communities that could really be endangered in the way that Paradise, California was last fall.
So far more than fire management, it's about basic human management in relation to wildlands.
Absolutely, totally. And then it's about how do we really build our economy to be able to continue to have robust local communities, even when we have some of the unknowns that are involved in these extended wildfire seasons.
So, Representative Marsh, you and Representative David Brock Smith of Gold Beach put out a release a couple of weeks ago talking about the wildfire mitigation funding package. Where does that stand at the moment?
Well, so again, a little bit of background. Even though I'm fully supportive of the Wildfire Council, I think we need these long-term strategies. We need to take a strategic look at what we're doing. But we also need some relief in the short term. Our communities need a lifeline. And so Rep. Brock Smith and I have put together an Oregon Forest Fire and Resilience Investment Package that would provide some money in this biennium. Again, it's focused on both the suppression side and the prevention side to make sure that our community-based projects, like those that are modeled really by the Ashland Forest Resiliency Project, don't lose any momentum in the next couple of years while we look for the long-term solutions. So we're asking for significant investment from the state in the budget that's just forthcoming.
And there's a lot of pieces that need to fall into place. You got the most recent revenue forecast. That's going to result in a big kicker, among other things. But will you be able to put much money? I mean, $6.8 million for the things you talk about here doesn't sound like a great deal given the overall amount that it costs to fight fires, for example.
Well, it isn't. And even that is an ambitious package. The revenue forecast was certainly more optimistic. We've been counseled that that's not money we can expect going forward. So there's not a whole lot of free dollars floating around to be grabbed. But what we're still looking for in this package is some real messaging that the state understands the complexity of issues that are involved in smoke and fire, and that we really need to come to the relief of our local communities that have suffered now through multiple seasons, in particular in 2018, when I think it's fair to say we had something of an existential reflection in Southern Oregon with 6 weeks of choking smoke.
It looks like the biggest chunk of the $6.8 million you're talking about here is in the first priority, which is Forestry Department staff or firefighting preparedness and resource protection. That's 21 positions it looks like you're bringing in here. Is that most of where the money goes?
Well, that's what we are. That's sort of where we started. But to be clear, of those 20 positions, some of them are directly oriented towards suppression, and others are really on the prevention side. We've asked for folks who can look at aquatic protection, wildland foresters who can work in our local communities to gear up projects, to work with landowners, to help people understand how they can work within their own lands to be as safe as possible. So we're really carefully trying to bring together multiple sides of this discussion in a package that reflects all the different aspects of wildfire that we've got to address.
I think you touched on this briefly, Representative Marsh, when you talked about the example of the Ashland Forest Resiliency Project.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a Community Resiliency and Smoke Impact Mitigation Grant Program. Do you envision engendering more programs like AFR?
That's right. You know, the one of the challenges of doing what we now know is really smart forest management is that it will inevitably result in some off-season smoke impacts. The scientists all tell us that you can thin forests, but if you don't do that burning to really clear the land, the brush and the landscape, that you haven't accomplished what you need to accomplish. And yet, for those of us who are enduring wildfire smoke in the summer, to have now the prospect of smoke in the off seasons is a big deal. So the Department of Environmental Quality has been working with local communities that know we need to do this burning, and they've given us a little bit of freedom to extend past what otherwise would have been some of the air quality restrictions, as long as we have worked with our communities to educate them, to notify them, potentially to make investments in things like clean public buildings so that there are places where high-risk people can actually take refuge during some of these smoke experiences. So what we want to do in this package is to set up a grant program through DEQ, the Department of Environmental Quality, to help these local communities, and certainly ours would be a prime example of that, who are ready to go to the next level and really work with community members to explain, describe, and prepare us for some off-season smoke. I think whatever investments we're able to make in those off-season projects will also benefit us if smoke comes in from the wildfire season as well. So it's a strategic long-term investment to be able to really gear up these projects.
But on that point of smoke, how tough a sell can that be to convince people that if you get a little smoke in the winter, it's going to mean you don't get a lot of smoke in the summer?
Well, first of all, to be honest, I don't think I can make that guarantee right now. We are on the very first moments of trying to confront the underlying problems around the wildfire. And while we need to make these investments in off-season, it's going to be a while before we can catch up and say that there's actually a relationship between that off-cycle burning and what happens in the summertime. And yet that is the long-term objective, absolutely. And I think the way you do that is to really try to spend a lot of time educating and answering questions and helping the community understand what the ecological need is of smoke, and then to really make these investments that help people negotiate the impact of smoke in the off season.
All right, a lot of work left ahead. Are you confident that the $6.8 million will get allocated in the budget for all the priorities that you and Brock Smith laid out?
I think it's ambitious. I would say we're working very hard up here to at least get a chunk of that money so that we can really demonstrate again that the state of Oregon is willing to reach out to communities that are most impacted, that are at highest risk of these events that we continually have in the summer and that we can expect for the foreseeable future.
State Representative Pam Marsh from District 5, that's Ashland and Southern Jackson County. Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thank
Somebody's
so
probably
much,
waving
Jeffrey.
At you by now. Take it easy.
Well, I really appreciate the time with you. Thank you.
All right, take
care. Bye-bye.